not exactly upon receipt, but eventually, particularly if letters had come from strangers. During my absence from the country these past 18 months, such replies would begin. This was an adequate enough performance as improvisations go. The only problem was that my entire education, everything I had ever been told or had told myself, insisted that the production was never meant to be improvised. I was supposed to have a script and had mislaid it. I was supposed to hear cues and no longer did. I was meant to know the plot, but all I knew was what I saw. Flash pictures in variable sequence, images with no meaning beyond their temporary arrangement. Not a movie, but a cutting room experience. In what would probably be the middle of my life, I wanted still to believe in the narrative and in the narrative's intelligibility. But to know that one could change the sense with every cut was to begin to perceive the experience as rather more electrical than ethical. During this period, I spent what were for me the usual proportions of time in Los Angeles and New York and Sacramento. I spent what seemed to many people I knew an eccentric amount of time in Honolulu, the particular aspect of which lent me the illusion that I could any minute order from room service a revisionist theory of my own history, garnished with a Vanda orchid. I watched Robert Kennedy's funeral on a veranda at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel in Honolulu, and also the first reports from Mi Lai. I reread all of George Orwell on the Royal Hawaiian Beach, and I also read in the papers that came one day late from the mainland the story of Betty Lansdowne Fouquet, a 26-year-old woman with faded blonde hair who put her 5-year-old daughter out to die on the center divider of Interstate 5, some miles south of the last Bakersfield exit. The child, whose fingers had to be pried loose from the cyclone fence when she was rescued 12 hours later by the California Highway Patrol, reported that she had run after the car carrying her mother and stepfather and brother and sister for a long time. Certain of these images did not fit into any narrative I knew. Another flash cut. In June of this year, patient experienced an attack of vertigo, nausea, and a feeling that she was going to pass out. A thorough medical evaluation elicited no positive findings, and she was placed on Elavil, 20 milligrams, 3 times a day. The Rorschach record is interpreted as describing a personality in process of deterioration, with abundant signs of failing defenses, an increasing inability of the ego to mediate the world of reality and to cope with normal stress. Emotionally, patient has alienated herself almost entirely from the world of other human beings. Her fantasy life appears to have been virtually completely preempted by primitive, regressive, libidinal preoccupations, many of which are distorted and bizarre. In a technical sense, basic affective controls appear to be intact, but it is equally clear that they are insecurely and tenuously maintained for the present by a variety of defense mechanisms, including intellectualization, obsessive-compulsive devices, projection, reaction formation, and somatization, all of which now seem inadequate to their task of controlling or containing an underlying psychotic process, and are therefore in process of failure. The content of patients' responses is highly unconventional and frequently bizarre, filled with sexual and anatomical preoccupations, and basic reality contact is obviously and seriously impaired at times. In quality and level of sophistication, patients' responses are characteristic of those of individuals of high average or superior intelligence, but she is now functioning intellectually in impaired fashion at barely average level. Patients' thematic productions on the thematic apperception test emphasize her fundamentally pessimistic, fatalistic,